This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic, Marquise Munson behind the glass, taking you through this Thursday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Fellas, what's up? How's it going, Joe?
It's good. We're working through stuff this week. As I got in this morning, you kind of like you reset, kind of look around, see what's going on. As we keep cleaning up and trying to rebuild Nashville Electric, interesting, and this is from a few hours ago, but I was asleep, 28th restored power to 21,000 customers, more than 28,000 without power. They identified 673 broken power poles since the storm. Wow. That's one thing that I see this morning that's of interest. Also, I'd like to say, props to Amy Adams Strunk and the Titans, $1 million donation that was announced yesterday. Again, no surprise that she would get involved in that way, but all of our sports people are responding like you'd hope and trying to get in there and make things better.
Absolutely. And we here at 102.5 The Game are your local donation station. We're accepting donations to help in tornado disaster relief efforts. The Nashville Community Resource Center is in need of the following items: tarps, rolled plastic, hand sanitizer, laundry detergent, work gloves, and trash bags, just to name a few. The donations will be accepted Monday through Friday from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. here at our studio location, which is located at 1824 Murfreesboro Pike in Nashville. Again, that's tarps, rolled plastic, hand sanitizer, laundry detergent, work gloves, and trash bags that you can bring here to 1824 Murfreesboro Pike in Nashville from 8:30 to 5 p.m. So really looking forward to accepting those donations and helping out. Munson, what's going on, my man? How are you?
I'm good.
He's good.
A couple days after,
Have you recovered from Alabama losing Vanderbilt yet?
Well, I did because, the SEC is just in a shambles altogether, so I don't know.
Last night was wild.
Yeah, so it doesn't even matter if Alabama lost. We're on to Nashville.
That's right.
We're on to Nashville because we need Nashville. We need to win that tournament.
Munson told me he wouldn't be surprised if Alabama won the tournament. So
I wouldn't be surprised if anybody won the tournament.
So are you going to be at the SEC tournament?
Yes, I will.
Are you going to do like a what's it, Matt Jones? Is Matt Jones that the Kentucky guy?
Yeah,
all decked all out in the crimson or what?
What would be my Alabama sports radio? Maybe it's Kentucky sports
radio.
Right,
your hand. There
we go. I'm just saying.
You may have just created a monster right here on air.
Why not? Why can't that model? He's done well.
Alabama winning the SEC tournament. Tua going to Miami. Let's all talk about it on Alabama Sports Radio.
The first time I walked down press row and saw that guy, I was like, it was almost like, he didn't just have Kentucky stuff on. It was almost like he was a mascot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not going that far.
Nah.
He got a wildcat tattoo on his cheek.
He's in like a big foam finger. It's like, dude, you're on press row. You'll have a little crimson, a little somewhere showing, right? Like a little.
Just a little bit. Maybe the tie.
Maybe that. There you go.
Maybe a crimson tie.
Yeah, like
get it.
Wow. Crimson tie. Wimp
crimson
Sanderson
tie.
Type stuff.
Maybe like a Bear Bryant hat. Maybe just walk around.
I'm gonna let that joke pass because it's before 7 o'clock in the morning. But my goodness, Munson,
houndstooth.
I love it, man. We can make it happen.
Yeah.
Joe, I know you're not. Look, Joe Rexrode, ladies and gentlemen, he's keeping up. He has to keep up with a lot of things, right?
He does.
He has to keep up with a lot of
he's
things.
He's like the most interesting man.
Including checking updates for his Michigan State team.
Oh, yeah. Was that checking updates?
Yeah,
oh, at the soccer game?
He can't even remember.
He was checking updates. Just little updates. You know, he was watching the Preds game. And he was watching the soccer game, but he had to also make sure that the basketball team was doing well.
That was a big game. Adam Sparks makes fun of me all the time. It's very rare that I'd be covering something that I'm not streaming something else. You know what I mean?
So
I mean, you'd be covering a Titans game, the Preds playing at the same time. You're streaming the Preds, or at a Preds game, streaming a college basketball game. So it's been.
Joe is
not very good with the technology, but like this, I figured out streaming stuff on my phone, and man, he's
a professional multitasker.
I was like, "How dare you, Joe?" By the way, what's the score to the Alabama South Carolina game? Do you know at all? Because they're playing too right now.
Yeah. Well, it's a big night tonight for the Nashville Predators, and Joe, you'll either be live streaming that, or you'll be there, and you'll be
I'll
doing
be there.
Oh my goodness!
And live streaming
the game.
You know, and by the way, tonight we've got some big OVC action a Sun action, so there will be some streaming of that while watching the Preds.
That's why you're the best. What a multitasker you are. Joe Rexrode, ladies and gentlemen, from The Athletic.
I know, watching sports is hard, man. Watching sports.
It's very difficult. It's very hard work that we do here. Big game tonight for the Preds against the Stars. Things didn't go very well for the Preds last night either, even though they didn't play. Arizona wins last night to move up to 74 points. So now Winnipeg holds the last wild card spot in the Western Conference, followed by Arizona, followed by Minnesota, and then Nashville. So all these teams right there jumbled up together. Winnipeg and Arizona both with 74 points. Minnesota with 73 and Nashville with 72. That makes tonight's game against the Dallas Stars just massive as they come into Bridgestone Arena, and a team that the Predators have really struggled against as of late.
Yeah, so it's like one of those things where it has not been a good matchup. So the most important thing is every game, every time out, scrounging and scrambling to try to get those 2 points. I do think there's a little extra here because I think it would say something if you could beat this team. You know, maybe now you got to be careful with that because they've had plenty of wins and not long ago against St. Louis where you're like, well, maybe this is the confidence game that gets them going.
Calgary.
Yeah,
with
Calgary,
the way they won
the drama game. Of the Calgary win. Some of the other, you know, again, we've talked about it ad nauseum. They've beaten some of the best teams in the league and lost to some of the worst. So I guess there's a limit to that. But still, a win over Dallas, to me, would be significant. And playing well at home. I thought it flipped, and it's kind of gone back, and they need a good performance there. You pointed out yesterday, I mean, this is the first home game for the Preds. Obviously, since the tornadoes,
yep.
And you know that is going to be a part of the pregame, of course. And sometimes things like that, you know, create or change the emotion a little bit of a normal run of the mill game. So, I mean, it's going to be a really important night in that building for this team.
There's no question about it. And speaking of tonight's game against the Stars, a really cool thing happened yesterday on Twitter. A Preds fan, David Witt, reached out to me and has been generous enough to offer up his Preds tickets for tonight's game for auction for tornado relief. So
that's awesome.
The tickets are in section 115, row LL. I've gotten several bids on it right now. It's up to $150. So if you'd like to go to the Preds game tonight in section 115, row LL, tweet me at rstanleynhl. You can either tweet me. My DMs are open as well. Right now the bidding is at $150. We'd like to see that go up, that we're going to donate to tornado disaster relief. But a really cool gesture by David Witt, a Predators fan, and really nice of him to reach out like that.
That is awesome, David Witt. Good on you. And so the bidding is like you can just tweet at you and bid?
Yeah, you can tweet at me and bid. And if you don't want your public bid to be out there, my DMs are open to literally everyone. So at rstanleynhl, you can get that done, and it's open until noon today. I want to close it off at noon, just so the winners have time to plan to go to the game tonight. But really, just looking forward to raising money for tornado disaster relief. So
yeah,
really cool by him.
Push it up. It can go up from 150. Someone
Absolutely.
Out
and
there.
You're talking about
those are great
like
seats.
Like 9 rows off the ice. So it's really good seats tonight for the game. Joe, we mentioned the things that have not gone well for the Predators in the matchup against the Stars as of late. We'll have Sean Shapiro from The Athletic join us at 7 o'clock who covers the Dallas Stars. But one thing we talked about yesterday that's just been so difficult for them to do against Dallas is to get those quality looks, those quality scoring chances. Of course, we'll have to see if Ryan Johansson is healthy enough to play tonight. Missed Tuesday night's game against Minnesota with an illness. Hopefully that illness has not spread to anyone else in that locker room. Nick Bonino's had it. Pecorine has had an illness. Now Ryan Johansson. These things can happen this time of year. But you're going to need all hands on deck to really make a commitment to getting to the middle of the ice because it's not going to be easy to do tonight against Dallas.
Yeah.
As they've seen.
No doubt. And, yeah, I mean, Johansson, you know, that's where you start those efforts, or that's where it should start. So that's a big deal. And, look, you go back to the playoff series last year, very few of these forwards had much success against this team. And this Dallas team is, and we're going to talk to Sean Shapiro, The Athletic, who covers the Stars, you know, much better defensive team this year by the numbers. I mean, it's a really stingy team, not the fire wagon hockey that we used to know Dallas for. So, you know, it's on one end, like you said, you got to get to the quote-unquote hard areas. You've got to create chances, and you got to give yourself a chance to get a rebound. And then, you know, you're going to have to be really sound in the defensive zone because you're probably not going to be in a 5-4 game against these guys if you base it on how they have played this year.
And to your point, you look at the points leaders for the Stars, like Roman Josi has 62 points for the Preds, leads them in points. That's 12 points ahead of anybody.
That's just
on the
wild
Stars. It's crazy.
That's seriously, and they're having a good year.
Yeah, I mean, they're
like
a good team.
Those numbers, if you just looked at their, you know, their roll call of stats, you would say, wow, they have bottomed out this year. But look at their goaltending numbers, you know, both guys, and just overall, it's, and hey, that's a style that if that's what you do, that's your bread and butter, it's an easy transition into the playoffs.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the way you have to play in the playoffs. Tyler Seguin leads the Stars with 50 points. He's got just 17 goals. Jamie Benn, just 19 goals. Radulov, 34 points, 15 goals. So, Philip Forsberg, with the bad year that he's had, that we think that he's had, you know, in terms of the production not being there as of late, he'd be second on the team in Stars, just like he's second on the team in the Predators in scoring. It's just crazy to think about that the Stars are in the position that they're in third place in the Central Division, firmly in the playoffs, and they really don't have that much offense to speak of.
And see, that's the thing. So we talk so much about the Preds forwards and needing more production, and it's true. But if you were a better defensive team and your goaltending and all that stuff was better, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. Now, I mean, I don't know what the conversation is in Dallas, and again, we'll talk to Sean Shapiro. And maybe in Dallas, it's like, a little more entertaining.
Why can't they score?
Right. I mean, that's a tough market. That's mm-hmm. a Cowboys market, you know. And it's hard to, if you've ever been around Dallas, and there's not a ton of Stars talk around there, you know. So maybe they need more, be more entertaining. But the bottom line is winning, and they're still doing that.
Joe, you brought up something yesterday with Adam Vingan that I want to talk about next. And it was a simple question of, have we overrated the talent level of the Nashville Predators? We're going to get into that next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. And we're talking about the big game between the Predators and the Stars tonight. And Joe, you brought up a question yesterday when we had your cohort, Adam Vingan from The Athletic, on and asked a simple question. Have we just simply overrated the talent level of this Predators team? You look at the stats right now individually. Obviously, Josi's having a great year. Forsberg hasn't scored in more than a month. Duchesne has 12 goals on the season. Ryan Johansson has 35 points in 65 games. That's getting paid $8 million per year. A lot of players. I mean, Kyle Turris, 29 points in 59 games. A lot of players not living up to, I think, what the expectations for them were coming into this season. Were all of our expectations for this group simply just too high, or something deeper going on that's causing everyone, and I shouldn't say everyone, some of your top forwards to not be anywhere near as productive as you've needed them to be all at the same time?
Well, I think there has to be a collective issue of some kind. I mean, there's a disconnect. They don't have, again, what has carried this team for a lot of the last few years offensively. There have been times when that one line, it was that line and then a big drop off to everyone else.
Yep, Johansson, Arvidsson, Forsberg.
And you know, so that's been split up for the most part. So there's some sort of, you know, I mean, obviously they're not executing, producing collectively. But, I mean, if you went through each guy, I think it's very different. I think, look, I don't care what anybody says. I think Philip Forsberg is a 40-goal caliber player. I absolutely believe that. We've seen enough of him to know that. I also think that Ryan Johansson is a special talent. And I think, you know, he's the guy that you start this conversation with to ask, okay, what's happening? Just one guy, what is happening there? Arvidsson, we've gone through that. I mean, Arvidsson has been a tremendous find and player and kind of the heartbeat of this team to me in terms of effort and tenacity and overcoming his size to do great things. We've seen him score 30 goals multiple times in his career. So that's not a fluke. I think there's injury there too. And in the playoffs, I think it's fair to say that, you know, teams have been physical with him and it has worked to limit him. So that's part of it. And I think Duchesne, I had an argument with Jared Stillman on the afternoon show Monday, Robbie, about Duchesne, because Stillman made the point, like, people it was way overblown how good he is, and people were, and I think there's some truth to that because the Preds have pursued him for so long.
Yes.
You know, that there's some, I think it got a little bit like people thought this is a 90-point guy coming in or something, you know, and that's never been the case. But he has been a pretty consistent in the 50-60 range and exactly what I think this team needed to have, you know, those two
1A, 1B.
Centers, 1A, 1B for two lines. That's a big thing that obviously David Poyle's talked about, is you got to have more than one line that can really threaten people in the playoffs, so it's not so easy to match up with you and just take your shutdown line and say, take them out and we're fine, right? Well, I mean, he has not had a year up to his standards, up to his normal standards. So, but I still think, I mean, his whole career tells you he can do that. He should be in that 60-point range, 55-point range. So, like, individually, you go through each one of them, and I don't know that there's anyone that you're like, yeah, that's just, that person is just not talented. We were wrong. I mean, we have kind of not talked much about Kyle Turris lately because he certainly got a burst of more ice time and contribution since the coaching change. But, again, he's still not producing anywhere near what his salary suggests he should be producing.
No. And it does get you wondering, though. And look, I still believe this team is talented. Do I think we overrated the talent? If we did, I don't think it was by that much. I look at this team, I see players who I have with my own two eyeballs seen produce before. And it's not like they've all gotten just old and have forgotten how to play hockey. But you do wonder, like, you know, you look at Ryan Johansson, for instance, who I think largely, other than this year, has been really, really good for this Predators team. But you look at his production in Columbus, 33 goals, 30 assists, 63 points, 26 goals, 45 assists, 71 points. He hadn't come close to 26 goals, much less 33 goals in any season here. Like, is that just as simple of, you know, him being asked to do different things with this team? Maybe. But when it starts to happen where Johansson's not as productive as he was somewhere else, Duchesne has come in and has not been as productive as he was somewhere else, Kyle Turris, Mikael Granlund up until recently. Like, at some point, you have to look around and say, all right, well, what's going on with that? Like, why is that a trend?
That's why people were calling for the coaching change.
Yeah. That's a big reason why people were calling for the coaching change. So is that something that we think was specifically on Peter Laviolette and the system that he was running, Or is there something deeper to that? And I don't know the answer to that, but it's just, it does make you wonder a little bit why that's been the case.
Yeah, I don't know either. There's and I feel bad to forget this. I actually wrote about this person when the Laviolette coaching change happened. There are all kinds of analytics people on Twitter, and there's one in particular who had what he said was absolute evidence that Laviolette's system is what was holding these guys back.
Yeah.
I'm not smart enough to look at blobs and take away, oh, this is on Laviolette. But, there's certainly there was a sentiment out there in the analytics community that, yes, system was part of the issue. And, hey, maybe that's true.
Yeah.
I still think that a lot of this is, it's the same game. You can talk system all day, but it's this guy and that guy.
Yeah.
And it's these three guys working together, these five guys working together. And it's not like things have just totally flipped here under John Hines. I think some things have certainly gotten better. So, yeah, I don't know. It's like, what would be the, if it's not system, is it chemistry among people? I think the actual, chemistry between individuals is good on this team. I don't think this team, sometimes you see teams that perform poorly and it's related to personality conflicts, yeah. Things like that. Do you see any of that? You're around this team a lot more than I am.
I don't see any of that. Now, granted, there's a limit to what we can see in the media.
Yes.
We're not around them all the time. But, I think it would probably be somewhat evident if there were some issues going on from that perspective. They'd leak out at some point, you would think. I don't sense that. They still feel and look like the same group that's been pretty close to each other for the last few years. So I don't get a sense that that's an issue. But, I think that's the most frustrating part for fans this year is you see these guys, you see the talent and what they've done in the past, and then you look at the production this year, and everybody wants to know why. And nobody really has a good answer for why. I think David Poyle himself is looking for why. And that, to me, when you're looking at, Forsberg, 18 goals on the year, Duchesne, 12 goals on the year, Johansson, 35 points, 13 goals in 65 games, even Arvidsson. Arvidsson, for what his production has been, his contract is about as good as it gets. He's got 15 goals this year. All of these guys are having down years at the same time, and it doesn't seem like anybody really knows why.
Yeah.
And that's got to be really frustrating for David Poyle.
Yeah, sure. And we're trying to figure out, and fans are frustrated. But I would promise you this, so are these guys.
Yeah.
And you can sense it. And that's the thing, too. There are, you can get a sense for how results affect a person. I would be confident in saying, there's nobody of these guys who are whatever, I'm making $8 million.
Yeah.
I'll see you later. They want to win. And I know that's no consolation, but I'm just saying, this isn't the easy conclusion of got paid, don't care anymore. Now, got paid, not as desperate anymore to do little things.
Maybe.
I think that could be fair. And I think you said it yesterday, when David Poyle fired Peter Laviolette, he basically opened the door on, hey, I'm willing to if you're a GM, you understand that sometimes it's hard. A guy before he gets paid and after he gets paid, it's not the same.
Right.
And again, it's not like, oh, you're going to stop playing hard, but maybe there's a little less desperation to do some things on the ice that will lead to goals. I think John Hines, the way he talks after some games, he certainly sees a team that isn't doing all the things necessary to get production. He talks about that a lot. You got to earn that production with some hard things, and he certainly didn't see that enough from his team Monday night.
I know,
night.
And that continues to just mystify me, because you expect that and understand that from a really young team, full with young players, not very experienced. This group that has been together for a long time now, I'm not going to say they're as experienced as it gets, but they're up there. They've been through a lot of things together. And for John Hines to continue to have to make these comments after games of the intensity level not being there, the battle level, doing the little things to win, they know how to do those things. I've seen them do it. So why is it not happening now? That's got to be the most frustrating part to me anyway, to watch them play.
And look, his lineup moves, whether he wants a single guys out talking about them, lineup moves have kind of told you what he thinks about certain guys. And I think the guy probably most moved, you correct me if I'm wrong, is Johansson.
Oh, it's Johansson for sure. There's no question. You know, we thought, you know, Kyle Turris was in the doghouse when Peter Laviolette was here. John Hines has said he doesn't have a doghouse. Ryan Johansson's come pretty close to whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, you can call it something else. Yeah. You can call it the motivating corner or whatever, but he's used it a lot with him.
He has. When we come back, Tom Brady went on an interesting place yesterday and joined an interesting forum yesterday to discuss his upcoming free agency. We'll get into that next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This is why Munson is the best, because we all have friends, including Tom Brady, who joined one of his friends yesterday on Instagram Live in a very unexpected way. I guess he knew he was on Instagram Live. I'm not sure. But Dana White, president of the UFC, had Tom Brady join him on Instagram Live yesterday to talk about upcoming free agency. He really wanted to make a pitch for Tom Brady to join his beloved Las Vegas Raiders. Here was that interaction between Dana White and Tom Brady, I believe yesterday, on Instagram Live.
But let me make my last pitch. Las Vegas would love to have you here at the Raiders. The stadium, the facility is incredible. The training facility that they have outside of Vegas is unbelievable. It's a 45-minute flight from L.A. Your kids and your family could live there. You could fly back and forth. We want you to come to the Raiders. I've been pitching you now for a month. I love you, too. Come on, brother. Get to Vegas.
Thanks, man. I know it's been a lot of patience for me. And obviously, being where I've been for 20 years, it's been an amazing experience. And I don't know what the future holds right now. I'm just trying to be patient through this process, my first time going through it. And in the meantime, I'm going to spend a lot of time with my family over the next 10, 12 days. And we got a little vacation plan, which I'm looking forward to.
Well, that was the most Tom Brady answer I think I've ever heard in my entire life.
In other words, forget Vegas, but hey, good talking
to
you.
Hey, I love you. That's kind of like when Peyton took the visit with the Titans. I don't believe he was ever actually interested in coming to the Titans. I think he was just like, yeah, I know I went to college in Tennessee. This is my paying homage to my Tennessee faithful coming in here and listening to what they have to say. But I'm going to Denver. Thanks, though. Appreciate you. What are we like? How random of a combination is that, though? Like Dana White and Tom Brady, and he's in there trying to get him to go to the Raiders. Munson was talking earlier about how this is definitely tampering. Like, the Raiders have, like, phoned Dana White and be like,
because he mentions, like, the training facilities, and he starts mentioning things that are, like, you would know that if you were inside the Raiders organization / facility area. Now, mind you, now Dana White acts like he, quote-unquote, runs Las Vegas.
Right.
But it's, like, you have to know. How do you know it's a great training facility? Unless they invited you out there to go look at this stuff. So just in case, like, hey, we know you're Tom Brady's friend. You know, we know you're a Patriots fan. But you know how cool it would be to bring Tom Brady with your UFC and everything else going around in Vegas, Golden Knights? Imagine Tom Brady coming here. So if you can talk to your buddy, you know, just throw it out there that, you know, we're interested.
If that was tampering, if that could count as tampering, man, there'd be a lot of tampering.
Well, then we need, like me and Robbie were talking about it this morning, we need a Nashville representative to go talk to Tom Brady.
Like, who would that be? Who would the Nashville representative be to try to get Tom Brady here? Not
Other
Mike
than
Vrabel.
Mike Vrabel?
He can't do it.
He can't do it, right.
He can't do it.
Reese Witherspoon? I mean, I don't know.
What?
Reese Witherspoon. It's not bad.
Yeah, it's not
we
bad.
Were talking about, you know, Carrie Underwood, Mike Fisher in terms of, like, the gene pool. Like, they're both good-looking people. Tom Brady, Giselle, both really good-looking people. Like,
it's like, look, you're two good-looking people. We're two good-looking people. Let's all be good-looking together.
Let's all do it together here in Nashville, Tennessee.
On Pedal Taverns.
There you go. Well, hey, I will say that, you know, it's like New York or L.A. for them, but you can, if you're Nashville, you can actually say, hey, we actually have a lot of celebrities. Like, if that's attractive to you, There's a high celebrity quotient here.
You just got to be careful.
Some people don't understand that.
Got to be careful which ones you throw out there. Because if you throw out like Kid Rock or somebody, I might just be like.
Don't bring it. Yeah, Kid Rock. I'm begging him to move back to Michigan. But yeah, no. Yes. You got to be selective. You're right.
And from what I hear, Nashville does a good job of kind of just letting celebrities do their thing.
Absolutely. No.
I don't know if they do that with Tom Brady.
Wasn't Bryce Harper here like last year? Like he was just hanging out on Broadway?
Yeah.
Like with his wife?
Chris Pratt apparently comes here all the time, just hangs out.
Yeah. You've definitely heard, and I can't remember
people
who.
People mistake me for Chris Pratt, by the way.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's happened twice.
Chris Pratt with a red beard.
I used to walk into an establishment on Broadway after Predators games. And they'd be like, Chris Pratt, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm like, I'm bald. Like, what are you talking about?
You think he looks like Chris Pratt?
No.
I never would have thought of that.
Like Parks and Rec Chris Pratt? Or?
Maybe. Wow. That was I was going more for Jurassic World Chris Pratt. Thanks, Munson.
I'm just saying. That's the closest. I mean, look how you're dressed today, man. We're chill clothes today. Like, yeah, that's Chris Pratt.
I wake up
Parks
at 4:15 in the morning, Munson.
Yeah, what do you want him to wear?
Well, Jurassic World Chris Pratt wore like a button up and some, you know, he looked pretty nice.
He was running from dinosaurs, man.
I know, but Parks and Rec Chris Pratt's pretty
cool. I wouldn't
have
guessed that one. I'm not going to lie. That's
well, maybe
good,
Chris
good
Pratt
for you,
can
man.
Be, look, that's what I said. Maybe Chris Pratt can be the Nashville representative to Tom Brady in terms of getting him here.
Because look, if Ben Affleck is the representative of Boston, I'm not going to Boston. I like your chances because I'm not going to Boston.
That's a great point.
Now, maybe Mark Wahlberg, you know, talk to Mark Wahlberg. Maybe John Cena, you know, a little wrestling thrown in there. But not Ben Affleck, no.
Ben Affleck should be a deterrent to going wherever he is.
Are we surprised by, like, Tom Brady's friendship apparently with Dana White? Like, I mean,
I am.
Dana White's a likable guy, I guess. But
yeah, somewhat.
It's just a random friend to have.
Yeah.
Is Tom Brady a big UFC guy?
Well, he was at the Conor McGregor fight that just passed, and I want to say a couple months ago.
Is that right?
Or like in January.
Yeah, I think so.
It was the same fight that Myles Garrett was at, and they showed Baker Mayfield on camera but didn't give him a graphic. Yeah, it was that fight. And then at that fight, Tom Brady was talking to Mark Davis that fight. Like, they showed video of him and Mark Davis talking.
There's some real tampering.
Some real tampering.
That's real tampering. I mean, as far as knowing the facilities and stuff, has there not been like coverage of what they have?
Do you think Dana White's keeping up with that though?
Right. But I mean, if it's out there, then it's not like he has to be an insider to know it, right?
So is he Googling it? Like, let me see what facilities I can sell. Tom Brady.
If I can Google something, I know he can. So I don't know, but yeah, I don't know who Nashville's rep would be. I mean, it's just bizarre with Brady, this whole thing, like the Syracuse game. It's just, I feel like he's trolling everyone.
Oh, he is.
Right now.
He is loving every second of this.
But it really does. I've been totally on, like, he's eventually going to go back there. But, man, there is a lot more. As we go day by day, it doesn't sound like it. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you get the feeling that he may just be done with that place. I don't know.
I mean, maybe.
But
it could just be a gigantic troll. That's what Tom Brady does. He loves this stuff.
He ends up back there now, it will feel like that Super Bowl commercial to me. It'll feel like the Hulu commercial that everyone just freaked out about, you know? Like, it's like he knew all along he was just going to go back there.
We got a text in on the text line that says, I thought we wanted Tannehill, though. I mean, I think you and I still feel the same way.
I think the Titans should want Tannehill.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But if you're going to get into this game with Brady, you know, you've got some star power to throw at him. If that's what appeals to them,
I'm off. Look, I remember the days not too long ago where the Titans didn't have a quarterback. So to be talking about two that I think both potentially could be pretty good fits here, I'm okay with it. I'm okay either way it goes.
Yeah, it just can't end up with neither of those guys.
No,
That's the problem.
And that's
the
risk.
You cannot be in that spot.
And speaking of the risk, that's what we're going to talk about next. There are some interesting comments yesterday from Tim Hasselbeck on Darren Donick and Chase talking about the risk for the Titans going after Tom Brady. We're going to get into that next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Mike Tannenbaum yesterday on SportsCenter talking about the risk for the Tennessee Titans going after Tom Brady. So, Joe, how do you handle that? If you've got, you know, Tannehill in your lap, he's done a really good job for you, just taking you to the AFC Championship game, but you're sold out on going after Tom Brady. Let's say you're not able to get him. What's that follow-up conversation like with Ryan Tannehill at that point? Because I would imagine, I know Ryan Tannehill is a kind of a soft-spoken guy, a mild-mannered guy, but I imagine he's not going to appreciate that very much if that's the route the Titans elect to go.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate what Tannenbaum said, and I agree. I mean, the thing is, like, where's the evidence that they're all in going after Brady? You know, it's not there. I mean, it's
basically, but it also can't be there yet.
No, but there could be something. You know, I mean, of course, we've had, and I don't remember who it was, you know, the Titans insider, the ESPN.com guy who says, yeah, they're going to let Tannehill go to free agency. Yeah, really?
Just in passing.
They told you that. No kidding. But, I mean, yeah, there are leaks around this time. We don't know. But there's certainly nothing solid that says they are. I mean, basically what we have is, like, some comments from Indy last week that were, you know, more gushing about Derrick Henry than Ryan Tannehill, and then some nice words about Tom Brady from a good friend named Mike Vrabel, which, like, it doesn't mean anything. So, like, if you're Ryan Tannehill, I've always thought that this Brady thing is a potential nice little leverage thing for the Titans, because obviously they want to, if they are going to pursue Tannehill, you'd like to have as team-friendly a deal as possible. If he knows that there's someone that good interested in the spot, I think that it could affect him. I understand the idea of you don't want to offend him. You don't want to make him feel like he's second fiddle. But I just don't see anything to where you could actually say that, other than that we just talk about Brady every day. Of course, everybody's talking about Brady because this is like the biggest thing in sports, and he's having a blast with it. This is like the five-star recruit going on his college visits times a million, you know?
Yeah, because he's never really had that. Like, even right. Him going to college and ending up in Michigan, I mean, he was never really – I mean, a lot of time he wasn't even the starter in Michigan.
I covered, you know, those teams. He was finally the starter. He was a starter – well, he started in 98. But in 1999, he was the starter as a senior. But everyone was like, well, he's a nice veteran, but Drew Henson needs to get
yes,
in there.
Drew Henson played
like halftime. They split time. I mean, imagine that. Tom Brady – who ends up being one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, split time as a senior at Michigan with the guy everyone said was the real pro prospect, yes. Drew Henson. So, yeah, he is not – I mean, he's had this incredible career in New England, but he's, as has been, you know, well documented, he's taken less at times for the team, and he's going to enjoy the heck out of this. Good for him.
Tim Hasselbeck joined Darren Donick and Chase yesterday to talk about Tom Brady's decision that he has coming up, and how he doesn't think it comes down to just John Robinson and Mike Vrabel. Here's what Tim Hasselbeck had to say yesterday on Darren Donick and Chase.
What I'm saying is that that's why I don't think that it's just as simple as Vrabel and Robinson. Like, I don't. I could be wrong. But, like, I think that is a, hey, are you guys on board with it from a football perspective? Because it makes sense financially. Like, I think that's how it goes. I think it's the same case for the Raiders, same case for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think that's the situation. I think you could get stood up, you know, at the altar by Brady, and all of a sudden Tannehill has moved on, and then you're on page two, you know, having the Phillip Rivers discussion. Yeah, and I don't know that it's that worth that risk for a 43-year-old quarterback. That's the way I would see it. And look, maybe Robinson and Vrabel feel differently about it.
That was Tim Hasselbeck yesterday on Darren Donick and Chase. Interesting stuff there, because you look at this situation, and we've said the whole time, what you can't have happen is to miss out on both. And I find it hard to believe that John Robinson would let that happen. I think if he doesn't absolutely 100% know that Tom Brady is going to end up here in Nashville, he's going after Ryan Tannehill. I mean, you just have to at that point, because you can't run that risk.
He should anyway, in my opinion, but yeah.
Oh, I agree, but I'm saying, like, I don't think John Robinson is going into this and saying, well, we're just going to let Ryan Tannehill walk and then take our shot at Tom Brady. I think he has to know that Tom Brady wants to be here and that they're going to get a deal done for him to even consider letting Ryan Tannehill go.
Yeah, and this is where an actual long-term friendship is a bonus for the Titans. Not that Brady, doesn't have, you know, friends in other organizations. I mean, a lot of people in this league have friends in various organizations. But you feel like the Titans would not be blindsided if they actually did make what I believe would be a mistake and prefer Brady over Tannehill. I can't imagine, like you said, that they would just be like, well, we'll give it a try. Sorry, Ryan. Let's just take a shot at it, man. I think, you know, if they do prefer Brady, which I still doubt, and I still think that they ultimately should and will do everything to sign Tannehill to a deal. But if it is Brady that they prefer, then I don't see how they could be in a spot where they're just hoping.
No. And I think another team has like creeped into this discussion that I just can't for the life of me figured out. And that is the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, I saw that. This is interesting.
Like the last couple days, all of a sudden the 49ers are just in this mix for Tom Brady in the discussion nationally. And I'm like, you just got to the Super Bowl and Jimmy Garoppolo was like top five in every category this year. Like, what more do you want? Like, why would this? I understand the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he didn't play well at the end, you know.
But you're talking about, you know, one game there.
Right.
He had an entire season where he was really, really good for San Francisco last year. I don't know. Like, where is this coming from with the 49ers?
Where is it coming from? I mean, I've seen ESPN. A headline. Yeah.
All over ESPN where they're like, the 49ers, Tom Brady could go there.
So what would that look like with Garoppolo?
I mean, he's under contract.
You're going to deal him?
I mean, I guess you'd have to.
Deal him to New England. just swap
you know
him
what?
Back.
I think Bill Belichick may make that trade.
Well, yeah, if you're Belichick, you're like, no, okay. Now we've got a good starter who's young.
He loved Garoppolo anyway. He didn't want to trade him in the first place.
That's right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's like if you're a team that if you feel like you just need a little bit more, you have everything else and you just need a little bit more at that position, I guess I can see it. But again, like, I'll go back again to what is Tom Brady right now?
I think it's hard to come up with an answer to that question.
I really do. I don't think he's Tom Brady of even, like, 2 years ago, which should not be a surprise. We have the Pecorine discussion here.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like it was to that extent. He had a good year last year. He had good numbers. He threw the ball a heck of a lot to a lot of pedestrian receivers, but he's going in the wrong direction as you should at that age. So I guess if you feel like it's just a little bit more there and you're over the top, but how many teams are in that position?
The other part of this is we've always just kind of assumed that Ryan Tannehill wants to be back here. He said all the right things. He says he wants to be back.
Yeah.
I believe that he probably does want to be back. But do you think at any point throughout this process, he's watching all this take place, he's seeing the comments made at the combine by Robinson and Vrabel that weren't negative towards him in any way, but certainly didn't shut the door on any outside rumors coming in. And maybe that's just part of negotiations. But do you think Tannehill is the type of guy that looks at this and be like, you know what? Screw you guys. I'm going somewhere else.
Not based on what's happened so far, but what's happened so far is those comments, which really the difference is the Henry versus the Tannehill.
Yes.
Which again, like,
there's no other option though.
Yeah,
at running back.
I can't see that being such a big deal to him. And now it's just the Brady circus. And of course the Titans are going to be mentioned in that. I mean, you know, you get this FaceTime thing. Is he going to see this FaceTime and say, how dare you FaceTime with Julian Edelman? You know, I think you'd have to be pretty immature to look at things that way. And I think if you're Ryan Tannehill, you'd have to understand that you played great last year, but mm-hmm. you weren't the only reason for that. So I believe him. I think it was Sirius XM. He had a pretty general interview about things, but he said he wants to be here. And I believe him. I can't imagine that he would want to roll the dice somewhere else if he can stay here.
When we come back, we're going to get back into the Preds discussion, big game tonight against the Stars. And to help us talk a little bit more about the Stars, Sean Shapiro, who covers the Dallas Stars for The Athletic, will join us. That'll be next here on Morning Drive. But first tonight, Preds face off against the Stars at Bridgestone Arena. We'll be accepting donations to give back to Nashville Strong tornado relief efforts prior to the game. Come by our tent on the plaza outside of Bridgestone Arena from 5 to 7 to donate. The immediate needs we have are work gloves, large trash bags, batteries, flashlights, and hand sanitizer. It's an NHL Winter Classic rematch and a potential playoff matchup. Purchase tickets now and receive a Preds camo hat. Pregame starts tonight at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and the puck drops at 7 o'clock. So if you've got some of those items to donate tonight, we'll be outside on the plaza from 5 to 7 right up until about puck drop accepting those items. We'll be right back with Sean Shapiro here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.